Amen. We thank God for today, these precious moments of today. We thank the choir for leading us in our songs of praise this morning. Amen. We thank you for being here this morning. It wouldn't be the same if you didn't show up. And we thank the Lord for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. God is in control over it all. I want to share with you this morning from the book of John, John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. John chapter 4, verse 46 through 54. We have been in Bible study on Wednesday looking at the miracles of Jesus. This is one of his many miracles. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 53. It speaks to us in this way. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Amen. Amen. I just want to preach on the thought today, the word and the witness. The word and the witness. Proverbs 16 and 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride has a way of blocking one's blessing. It distorts our vision, it confuses reality. It makes us unteachable and makes it impossible to determine what is good or bad because it always allows us to justify whatever it is that we really want to do. Therefore, it's the basis for staying in our own dysfunction and won't allow us to listen, change, or even grow. Pride, it can be a destructive thing. That's why God said, if my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. You see, when you call on God, you have to humble yourself in order to do what God says do. For humility is a byproduct of your faith. That's why when Jesus was teaching in his hometown and the people questioned his authority, though they recognized that his teaching was good, they took offense of him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor in their own hometown, not without honor in their own household. And Jesus didn't perform many miracles there because of their unbelief. Their pride hindered their faith because they didn't want to believe that someone that had less than them could actually give them more. So their faith was a hindrance. And when your faith is being blocked, so are your blessings. You remember the story in the book of Mark when Jesus was coming off of the mountain of transfiguration and there was a crowd of people arguing with his disciples because a man had brought his son to them in order to heal him. And they couldn't heal him. And Jesus and the man asked Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. And Jesus said, if I can, all things are possible for those who believe. The father cried out, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's unbelief, it's doubt and pride that causes us to miss our blessings. But just like this man wanting Jesus to heal his son, when the pain is great enough, it could cause you to humble yourself in the face of the only one that can really help you. In our text, we see that Jesus is revisiting the place where he performed his first miracle by turning water into wine. He went back to Cana in Galilee, and the Bible says that that was the place he performed his first miracle. It's where he got his feet wet in his wonder-working ministry. Maybe for him, it was a trial run before he officially started his healing ministry. Maybe for Jesus, it was a place of encouragement to remember how God cares about the little things that goes on in our lives. They may be small to God, but they're big to us. But whatever it is, your first in anything is always memorable. Your first boyfriend, a girlfriend, your first car, your first dance, your first job with benefits, your first breakup, the first time you got disciplined by your parents. Our first anything leaves a mark on us. They say there's no second chances in getting a first impression, even in the spiritual realm. What was the first time that God got you out of that real jam you were in? That first time that you had an encounter with God and he gave you a personal testimony? The first time that you felt his presence working on your behalf? Where were you? What were you going through? How did it make you feel? There's no such thing as a blind faith, for faith has a record you can look back on and build upon. Blessings and miracles have a location that you can go back to and remember what God has done for you. It's like a spiritual family reunion when you go to that place where you first met Jesus and you recount all that God has done for you. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Andre Crouch said, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first believed. It's good to go back and remember what God has done for you, because when another trial comes in your life, if you can remember how God brought you out the first time, you can put your trust in God to bring you out again this time. Jesus went back to that same town where he performed his first miracle. Well, word got out that Jesus was back in town, and a royal official traveled from Capernaum, about 20 miles away, to ask Jesus for help because his son was lying on his deathbed. He had to check his pride on a number of levels to get to the help that he needed for his son. Because you see, this was a royal official of high standing and of high position. And the only official title that Jesus had was that he was Joseph's, the carpenter's son. That he came from a city with a bad reputation called Nazareth. But when he heard Jesus was in town, he swallowed his pride for the sake of his son. And he traveled some 20 miles to find a man of lower standard that can do what he couldn't do for himself. See, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened to you. But sometimes in order to get the answers you're looking for, you gotta get into position. And getting into position may mean you gotta go to some places and do some things that make you feel uncomfortable. You may have to admit and confess some things you didn't want anybody to know about. In other words, what may be hindering you from your blessing is your own pride. Yeah, in order to get what you need, you may have to ask for help from some people that you don't really care much about. And if your pride stops you from getting into position, just remember the scripture. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This royal official, he swallowed his pride, and for the sake of his son, he went to Jesus, because after he tried the best doctors in the land, after he prayed to the gods of his people, after he listened to the philosophers of his time, the only one that he had left to turn to was Jesus. And this doesn't mean to stop going to doctors. It doesn't mean to stop listening to reason and common sense. But as my mother would say, wherever you go, take the name of Jesus with you. When you go to the doctor, take the name of Jesus with you. When you get in a jam and you got to stand before the judge, take the name of Jesus with you. When you go on the job interview, take the name of Jesus with you. When you have to take the test, take the name of Jesus with you. Wherever you go, take God's name with you, for his name makes all the difference in the world. His name can unlock doors that you can't get through. His name can make you friends of people who don't even know you. His name makes all of the difference in the world. And after the royal official got to Canaan, he found Jesus and he asked him to go to Capernaum. That's where my sick son was, and heal him because he's at the point of death. But Jesus responded and he said, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. That wasn't the response the royal official was looking for. He had a sick son that was close to death, and he was asking Jesus, come see him and heal him. He traveled a long way. He humbled himself before Jesus. A crowd had even formed around them. He showed he had faith. What else did Jesus want? This was not the answer he was expecting to receive. Aren't I in the will of God? Aren't I a child of God too? Doesn't God love me? Then why won't Jesus help me too? Haven't you been there before? When you need a right now blessing from God, and we go to him, and instead of getting the blessing we want, we get a rebuke, we get a correction, we get chastised, we're reminded of our shortcomings and our failures. Here is this man broken from pain, worried about his son, pleading for help, only to have Jesus say, you're only here because you need something. But any other time, you wouldn't listen. Has anybody ever been there before? Has anybody ever been told, I told you so, by Jesus? When you end up in trouble that you can't get out of, only because you wouldn't listen to God and follow Jesus to begin with. Too often we get bad news from God and we get discouraged and we walk away from God. We walk away from the church. We give up on our faith because we didn't get our way. But the true measure of one's faith isn't how loud you shout when you get delivered, but it's how you respond when you suffer loss. But even though he was humiliated by Jesus in front of the crowd, the man didn't go away discouraged, but he seemingly ignored what Jesus said as if it didn't even apply to him. As if he said, if the shoe doesn't fit, don't even worry about it. As if the rebuke wasn't meant for him, but for the crowd forming around him to see what Jesus will do. And the royal official says, sir, come down to my city before my child dies. You see, sometimes Jesus just wants to know if we really are real. If you're here just for the blessing or because you need the miracle worker. Because even if God in his sovereignty decides to allow trouble to come, will you still need God to get you through the trouble? Regardless if he answers your question or not, you still need the Lord to sustain you. Some people just want the blessing without bowing down to the one that gives the blessing. And the man showed that he wouldn't be deterred until Jesus gave him what he wanted. He prevailed in his prayer. He prayed until something happened. He prayed until God looked at him. He prayed until God heard him. He didn't leave. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't care who saw. He didn't care what people said. But he stayed right in the face of Jesus. You see, some people run at the first sign of correction or discipline. They get mad and they argue instead of listening. They get sidetracked on the other things instead of staying focused on the mission at hand. But this man said, I didn't travel all the way here to turn back now. For the race isn't given to the swift or the strong, but to the one that can endure to the end. Sometimes you need some enduring kind of faith. Faith that keeps you focused. Faith that won't give up on you. That won't give up and it won't give in. Faith that will sustain you when it seems like everything is falling down around you. Because the question is never if God can. It's just if God will at this time. And Jesus told the man, go. Your son will live. I would imagine he was happy on the inside. Jesus told him, you can go back now, your son will be healed. Go back and travel 20 miles away. Go back and find out what God can do. Then Jesus told him, you can go because what you're looking for is going to happen. And that's hallelujah time. That's time to celebrate when the Lord tells you that you can get what you're asking for. Has the Lord ever told you yes? Has the Lord ever delivered on your behalf? Has the Lord ever gave you a reason to shout and praise his holy name? I can remember a time when my son was sick and we thought it was going to lead to death, but we got a word from the Lord that said everything is going to be all right. It took 2 years for it to come to pass, but when I got down, I remember what the Lord said, everything is going to be all right. And Jesus told the man, go back to Capernaum, your son will live. But he didn't get what he asked for. He went to Jesus and told Jesus, I need you to go to Capernaum so that you can heal my deathbed ridden son. And Jesus didn't go to Capernaum, but he told him, you can have what you're asking for. Has God ever answered your prayers, but he didn't give you what you wanted? He didn't show up the way you thought he'd show up, but the Lord told you that you can have what you ask for. The Bible says that the man heard Jesus' word and he believed and he went on his way back to Capernaum. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you just got to trust the Lord at his word. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you just got to believe that what God said he'll do, he'll do it. In fact, it's already been done on your behalf. You just ain't got there yet. And as the man traveled back, believing that Jesus did what he said he could do, his servant met him before he got there and told him that the fever broke and your son is going to be all right. The man asked Jesus, around what time did he start to recover? And they told him, it was around 1:00 in the afternoon, and he realized that was the same time that he was talking to Jesus. Sometimes all you got to do is have a little talk with Jesus, and Jesus can make everything all right. He ain't got to show up the way you want him to. All he got to do is say it, and everything would be all right. The Bible says not only did that man believe, but his whole household got saved. Sometimes you can save some folk just by having a little talk with Jesus. He ain't got to show up the way that you want him to, but God knows how to deliver you. God knows how to protect you. God knows how to be true at his word. You just got to believe his word, and the Lord will give you a testimony. You got to believe his word, and the Lord will make you a witness. And it said they believed without ever seeing the miracle. They just believed the Lord could do it. And when the report came back, they shouted and praised the Lord. Sometimes
You ain't got to see it. You just got to shout because of somebody else's blessing. Sometimes you may not see it for yourself, but somebody else told you what the Lord will do. You just got to get happy for what he did for somebody else. Sometimes your blessing is tied up in the deliverance of somebody else. And not only was one life changed that day, but a whole genealogy shifted. A whole generation of people were changed. A whole household came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And all the man had to do was humble himself, leave his pride behind, and trust in Jesus. He didn't get a soft, form, fun, fuzzy word. He got a rebuke and was told to go back home and everything would be all right. Too many times we get upset because we're looking for the one warm, fuzzy word. The Lord is trying to test our faith to see if we're here for him or we just here to get what he has to offer. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. The Lord will direct your path. You just got to trust God.